right now.
Proposed impact fees, and I've looked at how much that is for the size building that we'd be looking to do, and it's pretty significant. I don't think we need to rush into anything. I'm not willing to say that they're completely off the table, but I don't think that we need to be rushing to do anything with impact fees and put it in place, you know, have a meeting come October and say, okay, that's it, November we're gonna put something in place.
So this is this is Colton Wright, County Commissioner Colton Wright, the chairman of the County Commission in Santa Rosa County. This is actually from last week's budget hearing. Now, this has subsequently had some drama, as you heard David talking about at this top of the hour, that, you know, in Monday's meeting, Kerry Smith was objecting to all of this. But what Sam Parker had said is, look, let's send a message to the business community and to staff, and let's just not do anything with impact fees for like a year. And he gave and this is a little out of order time wise of how it happened in the meeting, but this is a pretty comprehensive explanation of why Sam wanted to put it off until next October to talk about, you know, raising money from new builds in order to pay for, the commission doesn't get to pay for schools, but impact fees could potentially involve schools, roads, stormwater, law enforcement, the kinds of things that, you know, it's an impact on the budget for the county, and therefore you can, under statute, you can create a funding source to pay for those things that are impacted.
So I'd much rather message to the people, hey, look, the economy's becoming a wreck. Construction costs are up. Permits are down. Industrial costs are up. And so we can at least say, hey, we're going to table this issue, set it aside for 12 months, and then we can look at it again and see where we're at, you know. So I'm fine with that. I use October because if that's what we're doing this year and we're going to have an October next year, and then we can have that discussion. But at least folks that are looking at making investments in our community and building businesses would know, hey, at least for the next 12 months, I don't have this hanging over my head. And I think that I feel comfortable telling the citizens that's the reason why I felt that way, was because of cost. And I just wanted people to be able to plan instead of the unknown or the ambiguity of, hey, you know what, we're not going to consider it for the next 12 months because the economy's wrecked. I don't want to say that. I mean, there's a lot of good things, right? But quite frankly, there's a lot of bad things, and I at least say, hey, I don't want to be part of the problem. And so we could revisit it in 12 months. So I'll change the motion to just say, hey, that we direct staff, there's no action to be taken until the October 2024 budget workshop on impact fees. And that way it just sends a message to the community.
So that's the idea that Sam had, is look, the economy is not doing great and we're worried about it doing worse. And we got an election coming up next year, and let's just put it off because, and what he's getting at, he didn't quite say it this way, but I think kind of the idea he has is uncertainty is itself a problem for any political scenario or any economic scenario, right? One of the things that businesses hate the most is uncertainty, because if you're an investor, you're a business owner, you're the source of capital, you're a bank, you're whatever, you don't like working in an environment where you can't, you know, you don't know the rules of the game because they might be changing. And the more the situation is stable, the more you have the opportunity for economic growth. The more you have an unstable situation, the more people kind of pull back and play defense and safety and don't do stuff. Well, putting in or not putting in impact fees is a source of uncertainty, right? Passing or not passing the reauthorization for the half penny is a source of certainty or uncertainty. Passing the second half penny as a possibility, as a source of certainty or uncertainty. You know, making or promising to make or considering the possibility of making big changes to the land development code. All of the stuff that government has an impact on business through has the opportunity to create uncertainty. And I think what Sam in part is saying is, let's just take this slice of uncertainty off the table for a year so that businesses can only have to worry about the other stuff like inflation, you know, or what the Fed is going to do, instead of having to worry about this too. But he's also saying that, you know, impact fees have an impact, have an effect on the affordability of housing. And we're always talking about making affordable housing. And this is one of the constraints that challenges us. So again, you know, Kerry Smith didn't like that they were having this conversation because it wasn't on the agenda.
I think this is a bad direction. This is something that's not even called for on this agenda. This just is kind of coming up. And if we want to, if we are serious about going after local option sales tax, to throw this out there right now, that's a lot worse than what we were doing yesterday.
And again, he thinks that it's not appropriate because it wasn't on the, and it wasn't on the agenda. This is in like our, this is on the budget meeting. This wasn't during the Land Development Code meeting. That had been the day before. But in any case, it wasn't on the agenda. And so there is an argument to be made that that's not appropriate, but the county commission can take up what it wants to take up. And also, his argument that he made, again, the clip you heard David play at the top of the hour, was, I don't think we should put this off for a year. That's an awfully long time. We ought to be able to entertain it before that. Well, you can always entertain something. The commission can't forbid itself from considering something. You know, you can't bind a future commission, even if that future commission is the same people that are sitting there now. So, you know, they could pass a moratorium on the discussion of impact fees for 1 year. But in 3 months, Sam or Colton or, you know, well, Kerry's on that side already, or James or Commissioner Eddington, Ray, they could all vote. Any of them could change their minds and vote to open it up. And if Kerry Smith thinks it's a good idea to do this, he could always bring the item forward. He can put it on the agenda, no problem. In fact, that's what we talked to Santa Rosa Administrator yesterday. You know, Devan Cook made that kind of comment, like he's thinking he's probably going to put it on an October agenda. He can bring it forth, and if he gets votes, he gets votes. If he doesn't get votes, he doesn't get votes. It's a soft ban in the sense of trying to direct staff, just don't work on this because we're not going to approve this, and telling the business community, hey, we told staff not to work on this because we're not going to approve this. But there's another dimension here, which is that, you know, Sam Parker is consistently talking about wanting to kind of build trust. Recently, he's been talking about this, building trust with the community and recognizing that, look, if we're going to be asking for, you know, an additional half cent or something next year, and Colton Wright said, yeah, if we're going to talk about an additional 1/2 cent local option sales tax in order to raise money, because that's a different way you could raise money for infrastructure, stormwater, transportation, and whatnot. Impact fees are far more restrictive in terms of what you can use them for and the justification you have to give for implementing them. And he seems to think, Colton Wright seems to think, well, you know, look, if we put off impact fees, maybe that gives us a better case to make with the public that we're going to look at the local option sales tax, which got, you know, taxes always seem to get defeated. But, you know, speaking as somebody who lives in a county where we have I think we have the full 1% over here. I should know, but I don't. I believe we have the, you know, full 1 cent, and it was defeated the last time, I think, in Santa Rosa County. But he says, I favor that, but let's get the public on our side.
If I had to pick, I think we, and this will probably get used against me, but I think we slow roll on the impact fees, and we make sure we do all of our due diligence. And I think we look at, staff focuses on the additional half cent on the 2024 ballot and how we're, you know, how we could do that and how that would be focused only for transportation and stormwater.
Yeah, and that's the idea, is maybe that's a different way to do the funding. And I like what Sam was saying, because he recognizes that, you know, people, though you might like to think they're rational, that they are rational all the time, they are not. Their level of information might not be complete. Their level of thinking things through logically might not be complete. And your job as a politician is sometimes to do what they think is right, sometimes to not do what they think is right. I mean, there's always a fine balance there, because if you do too many things they don't think are right, then they'll vote you out of office, right? And your job is to represent them, but that's a delicate balance.
Like you said, it'll get used as sound bites when I'm about to say, but quite frankly, 2019, in my opinion, I had somebody say, you know, you got to remember, people make decisions, i.e. vote, with their heart more than when they're hit. And I use that just like yesterday with alternative subdivisions, I actually had people calling me today like, hey, you know, that was a good thing, but I understand why you did it, you know, because sometimes you just, you don't try to say, well, hey, kind of like how Andrew McKay said it. Sometimes you try to do the right thing by going against the public because you have information, and sometimes you try to do the right thing about going with the public because you understand public trust and sentiment.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, it's a delicate balance. You know, you want to lead, which sometimes means doing what people aren't ready to do yet, and sometimes you got to, you know, sort of follow because if you lead too far, eventually you're like, I'm their leader, where'd they go? You know, and that's you, then you don't get reelected and you can't do any good if that's the case. So here's I think where this all stands. The county commission is not likely to do anything with impact fees anytime soon. They've kind of given this instruction to staff, hey, just don't waste your time on this because we know you have limited resources. You know, Kerry Smith wants to have this conversation. There are people in the community who have wanted and do want this conversation for sure. Okay, it's not, there's very much a lot of disagreement about whether having impact fees is good or not. The question simply remains, how much will they show up at the meetings and pitch a fit and ask for it and demand it? And, you know, we'll see. But where it stands right now is inaction until next year unless something dramatic changes. But I said, I expect Kerry Smith to bring this up at maybe one of the October meetings, and we'll see where we go from there. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Hear it here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Do you have heart failure and often hear,
those stomach issues ruined your birthday?
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa?
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tool since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist. Ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM, a rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Put down the hairspray and the leg warmers and step away from the top 40 countdown, Casey Kasem. 5:23 here on News Radio 92.3. Come on now.
She ice skated to this in Flashdance, but you didn't. You're
did
not a
she?
Big Flashdance person. Not Jennifer Beals, but her other
Laura
stripper
Brent.
Friend.
Oh, all right.
No, the friend.
I mean, I'm just. This is what we need. We need more Laura Branigan. Here it is, though. Look, I know you tune in for the news, but my job as the leader of this show is every once in a while to give you the thing that you didn't know you needed. And you didn't know you needed that this morning. Candy's doing the backup singing in the back. I love it. You're the best. You out of breath okay? You doing all right?
Yeah, because I'm just singing.
Okay, good.
But you could do anything, like, Jeff Burgosh! Like, you know what I mean? So I just need three syllables.
I was not expecting that.
Okay.
520, too many. I got four.
David Wayne.
525 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom.
Just nice. Now that's a lead in. I like that. There we go.
We need to work on it a little bit.
You know, Cat Country used to let me write songs. Let me do this.
Go on.
All right.
Good. All right. It's in good hands. I know it. The Senate has voted to advance a short-term funding bill to avoid a government shutdown. The bipartisan measure released Tuesday would keep money flowing until mid-November to give Congress more time for a long-term spending package. It includes $4 billion in aid to Ukraine and $6 billion in emergency FEMA funding, but it's unclear if it'll get past the House. Republican presidential candidates set to face off in a debate tonight in California. Seven hopefuls will be participating in the second debate, of course, including Governor DeSantis, former Vice President Mike Pence. Chris Christie will be there tonight. No President Trump. He's going to be, I believe, in Michigan joining picketing UAW workers. And President Biden's dog, Commander, has reportedly bit another Secret Service agent.
But it's been like 11 times?
11
is that
times,
right?
Yeah. Apparently the Secret Service agent is okay after the incident. But yeah, this is the 11th time.
I mean, I understand that dogs can do what dogs want to do, and sometimes they can be challenging to discipline, but you can't have a German Shepherd biting the Secret Service.
It's a German Shepherd?
Over and over
again.
It
is, yeah.
Like,
I was like, oh.
11 times is, brother, we need to figure out a solution for this dog because this can't keep going, you know?
Man, I don't know. Isn't the standard, like, after a third offense with an animal, it's gone? In most cases?
Don't know a lot of dogs that get past the second bite, yeah.
I guess if you're the president, you can pardon the dog. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the problem is the president abusing his authority here. I mean, it's a small enough case of sorts, but this is not good.
Well, is Hunter in jail? Maybe he can keep it up.
Maybe the dog can go live in... No, Hunter's not in jail yet. David, thanks so much for the update. I appreciate it, man.
David Wayne.
Somebody here says, Andrew for County Commissioner. You're
yes!
So sweet. Nope. No, although, you know, so first, I live in District 3 in Escambia County. A white Republican in District 3. Come on now. I mean, that's an impossible scenario.
Who's the...
Lumen May.
Oh.
Okay. I don't even get to vote meaningfully in my election.
I love Lumen.
Because
yeah,
it's the Democrat primary is what decides that district. And then, you know.
Dude, he is a god in Escambia County.
Well, he is super popular.
And he's wonderful. he's a great man. Yeah. His whole family is.
I mean, it would be, even if it weren't a, you know, black Democrat district, it would be like still unlikely. Plus, I'd have to probably quit my job to run for county commission. Now, I don't know. Maybe if I moved up to District 5 where we used to live. Just saying, no, we're not moving. That's the problem. You'd have to move. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, somebody texted in. Thank you for the information. Escambia County has a local option sales tax of a full 1% or one penny, as they like to call it. I don't like that. I find that description misleading. You know, vote for the half penny. Because, I mean, true, it's a penny on the dollar, but I don't know. The taxes are always presented in percents, and calling it a penny makes it seem like it's trivial. But I just... Like, you know, honest information, I think a percent is fair. Also, a 0.5% for the school board, so 1.5%. And again, you know, local option sales tax, you can't use it for anything at all. You basically have to use it for stuff, you know, fire trucks and police cruisers and roads and schools, you know, buildings, materials, stuff. I think there's some use of it for parks and things like that, but, you know, you can't pay, like, salaries with it. 528 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? This is just since we're on this note, we're kind of talking about Santa Rosa County. Out of that same budget meeting, and this is not quite the same in Escambia, but very similar because we're going through the budget season right now.
And one of the things I do want to point out is the difference between our rollback rate and this, and our tax rate of 6.0953 is about $7.7 million, and every bit of that has been allocated to infrastructure. We are not spending it on personnel or operations.
So the, and this is where people do get confused on this topic. The state legislature requires you to describe your budget as a tax increase if you're collecting a greater total dollar amount on the previously existing real estate ad valorem. So that doesn't mean you have a higher millage rate. In fact, the rollback rate is meant to be the lower millage that would wind up in you collecting the same amount of tax on that pre-existing real estate. Any new construction is not factored into that, but, you know, the pre-existing stuff. And so both counties are keeping the millage flat, which means that they're generating or raising a lot more revenue. The question is, does that qualify as a tax increase? Well, if you're paying it, it feels like a tax increase, but it's a percentage. And just like the sales tax is a percentage, even though the price of goods goes up, so you're paying more tax, is that considered a tax raise? Because, you know, 7 or 8% on a fixed price of something, if it goes up? And again, the answer is no. And so this is something where people think it's a tax increase, and by definition from the state it might be, but in practice, nobody thinks of it that way.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California is the venue for tonight's second Republican presidential debate, co-hosted by Fox Business, with seven candidates taking part.
As was the case a month ago, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will have the center podium as the highest polling overall candidate on the debate stage. There is one less podium than there was at the first debate. Former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson failed to qualify.
Fox's Jared Halpern, the Republican frontrunner. Former President Trump is again skipping the debate. More than 100 people, including the newlyweds, are reported to have died in a fire at a wedding in Iraq.
Some of those present say the blaze began after fireworks were lit. Images on local TV appear to show the bride and groom on the dance floor as debris burned around them. Iraq's Civil Defense Directorate says low-cost flammable panels may have fueled the flames.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The TV and movie writers' strike is over. A new contract is unanimously approved by union leadership. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is partly cloudy, 74 degrees in Pensacola. At least one Escambia school board member thinks that a portion of the OLF 8 property would be the perfect location for a new high school. During a school board workshop this week, District 1 school board member Kevin Adams pointed to data showing just how much growth there's been in Beulah recently.
But right now, there's approximately 121 total residential developments either in discussion or in the pipeline. For multifamily, approximately 1,674, that'd be your apartment duplexes. Your single family, 5,228.
And he says that prior superintendents Malcolm Thomas and Tim Smith both sent letters to Escambia County requesting that space be allocated. Currently, Escambia County leaders are reserving 250 acres of the property for job creation. It appears there's no serious purchase offers on the table for the remaining acres. Even after agreeing to a contract with their next city manager, Milton city leaders haven't been able to stop the infighting that's plagued their meetings lately.
I don't appreciate that you lie about me.
Well,
really don't.
Well,
the point is,
Mayor, it's your email. Please don't interrupt. Mayor, can I?
Mayor, point of order.
Can I respond?
He was recognized. You don't let him finish.
I didn't.
You don't let anyone
him.
Finish, Mayor.
If I am going
to
be,
shut up.
Okay.
Mayor Heather Lindsay and City Attorney Alex Andrade back and forth during a recent city meeting. Last week, though, Scott Collins did put pen to paper. He's agreed to a 21-month contract, and that'll start October 2nd. Fortune Magazine has named HCA Florida West Hospital a top 100 hospital in the nation. This is their fifth time being recognized. The recognition program started back in the 90s. It became IBM Watson, and then Fortune Magazine acquired that program in February. HCA Florida West also achieved that recognition in 2002, 2015, 2016, and 2017. Parents should be aware of an uptick in crimes that are targeting teenagers. Attorney General Ashley Moody issued a warning yesterday about how artificial intelligence is now being used in sextortion cases involving teens. She says criminals are buying hacked social media accounts to send AI-generated sexually explicit images to teens to establish online relationships. The goal is to get that teen to send them images that can be used as blackmail. Moody says the FBI has received at least 7,000 reports of what she's calling sextortion of minors last year. In the last 18 months, at least three teens around the country have committed suicide after falling victim to these types of incidents. 534, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
It's going to be a mostly cloudy day with a 50% chance for rain. High temps will be mainly in the middle 80s. If we end up with a good bit of sunshine, of course, it'll be a little hotter out there. So on the humid side as well, rain chance again, about 50% on Thursday. But a jump ahead to the weekend shows most likely the weather will be dry with lots of sunshine. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News weather forecast.
74 in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. From managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Happy Wednesday, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk with Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as we always do on a Tuesday midday. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
There we go. All right. Fantastic.
They gave little me a bum mic. Just
a little,
so
a little engineering on the fly.
Can I make a citizen's arrest?
No. I tried to go to this mic in the first place. She's,
yeah,
no,
that
no,
mic is better
one.
Anyway. I like that one. All right, that sounds great.
Citizen's arrest.
So we've had you know, some interesting things happen this morning. You guys had to set up a perimeter around somebody tried to attack somebody with a knife or something?
Yeah, I just got off the phone with our dispatchers and because I was getting calls about the area. And apparently some dude attacked another dude, allegedly, with a box cutter and then fled the scene. And
where was this at?
Around 98 and Dog Track in
okay.
that area on
all
the
right.
side. And so our deputy set up a perimeter, tried to get the canines out there, ended up catching the guy. So he is under arrest, and we're still trying to gather the details. But all I can tell you now is that He is alleged to have attacked another with a box cutter.
Okay. I mean, when you arrested him, was he, I mean, did he have blood on him? Was he knife out running around? Any evidence that, I mean, or was he just a guy who had a box cutter?
No, no. Well, I mean, we were given a description of the guy.
Right.
We were told to follow that guy.
Okay.
And we did.
And now you got him. Okay. You've had a, well, yesterday you had an interesting incident on Davis Highway, just north of I-10, right there in front of like the Denny's and the gas station, all that. Somebody was doing something they shouldn't do in the median.
Yeah, you know, I was heading home, minding my own business, and I'm listening to the radio, and I'm hearing this guy is supposed to be in the back of a yard and then driving around, I think, Atwood and then toward the interstate. I'm thinking, crap. this is rush hour right here at 29. I mean, at Interstate 10 and 110.
Yeah.
And then getting off, I hear this guy's walking around. Then we get calls of people that saying that this guy is in the roadway off on Davis Highway waving a gun at traffic.
So, oh, neat.
Again, crap.
Yeah.
You know, so I head that way, and obviously our deputies, our marked units get there a lot quicker than I do. When we our deputies got there, because I was pretty close and got the rundown immediately afterwards. When our deputies got there, the guy did have a gun in his hand. He immediately dropped it when we had guns in our hand.
Good.
And then he was taken into custody. He's probably going to be evaluated.
Okay.
You know, for his mental condition. And I think that at the time I left there, they were contemplating the reckless display of a firearm.
Okay.
You can't do that whether you have a mental condition or not. But he was suffering from some sort of, from something.
Yeah.
As I saw him sitting in the car.
But pretty concerning to see somebody waving a gun around in the middle of rush hour traffic on Davis Highway in the median. I can see why people would be bothered by that.
Good morning. How are you?
There we go. All right. Fantastic.
They gave me a bum mic. Just
a little engineering on the fly.
Can I make a citizen's arrest?
No. I tried to go to this mic in the first place. She's,
yeah,
no,
that
no,
mic is better
one.
Anyway. I like one. That one. All right. That sounds great.
Citizen's arrest.
So we've had an... You know, some interesting things happened this morning. You guys had to set up a perimeter around somebody tried to attack somebody with a knife or something?
Yeah, I'm thinking, crap.
Sorry, engineering in my
right
fault.
Here,
yeah.
At 29, I mean, at Interstate 10 and 110.
Yeah.
And then getting off, I hear this guy's walking around. Then we get calls of people that saying that this guy is in the roadway off on Davis Highway waving a gun at traffic. So,
oh, neat.
Again, crap.
Yeah.
You know, so I head that way, and obviously our deputies, our marked units get there a lot quicker than I do. When we our deputies got there, because I was pretty close and got the rundown immediately afterwards. When our deputies got there, the guy did have a gun in his hand. He immediately dropped it when we had guns in our hand.
Good.
And then he was taken into custody. He's probably going to be evaluated.
Okay.
You know, for his mental condition. And I think that at the time I left there, they were contemplating the reckless display of a firearm.
Okay.
You can't do that whether you have a mental condition or not. But he was suffering from some sort of, from something.
Yeah.
As I saw him sitting in the car.
But pretty concerning to see somebody waving a gun around in the middle of rush hour traffic on Davis Highway in the median. I can see why people would be bothered by that.
All of those are bad. All of those things are bad. You know, the rush hour traffic, the fact that an individual had a gun and waving it at the traffic, like you said, it makes it even worse. So now we have what's normally backed up even further. And now you have all these emergency vehicles, mine included,
mm-hmm.
trying to get there as quick as we can because, you know, we're hearing these reports from passerbys. Talking about a guy with a gun.
And you don't want to get, I mean, you know, you don't want him to shoot and you also don't want somebody to shoot him. I mean, you know, we have a lot of people have guns and it's you kind of have this heightened alert with all of the panhandlers around that behave in ways that are not always the best. And, you know, I'm glad nobody got hurt, obviously.
Well, I do, again, it's our agency and I'm very proud of the sheriff's office. I need to give a shout out to the deputies that responded. You know, to think about, you know, trying to use your license siren, sometimes it's quickly you can get to an incident, but many times, the traffic's just so backed up, we have to find our own way.
Right.
And then when you have an individual with a gun, we're trying to get there even faster. But, there were no traffic accidents that I'm aware of, and our deputies got there quickly and took care of the situation.
And in the video, it looked like, did you stop traffic in both directions? It looked pretty clear at the moment they were approaching him.
Well, the first initial deputy got there, parked his car where he needed to, which
okay.
is probably the first place he could stop it.
Yeah.
And then once he was in custody, most of the deputies were able to put their vehicles in that raised median right in the middle, that concrete median.
Yeah, yeah.
Right there in front of Denny's.
Yep.
In fact, that's where I parked my car at, so that traffic could go north and south. So The problem is that once you initially get some people, you know, complaining and some people stopping, it's that accordion effect where everyone behind them is waiting to get. You
know, so even if you're not impeding or stopping traffic, the looky-loo effect, right?
Right.
Especially
right.
when there's busy traffic.
Well, and I think people understand we were there for a very important reason.
Yeah.
And you know the motorist. Actually did a really good job of you know understanding. No one was honking their horn and giving us finger gestures or anything like that.
Which is,
not that I saw.
That's a win, you know? That's a win. Yeah, nobody got hurt. You did your job. A man got arrested, and nobody had to see any additional appendages. We're talking with Sheriff Chip Simmons about all the things that have happened lately here in the county. We also had, I guess it was a threat on Pine Forest High, but it turned out to be nothing. Is that right?
Yeah, apparently our dispatcher, the 911 dispatcher, gets a call, and in the background they can hear some sort of a gun threat at Pine Forest High School. So clearly we're working with the school district, obviously Pine Forest High School administration, and shut down the school, lock it down, and then we get as many deputies as we can out there to make sure that this is not a viable threat.
Yeah.
Come to find out, a student, claims that he accidentally called 911 while sitting on his phone and then hung up. And then what happens when you call 911, they will call you back to see if there's an emergency.
Right.
And when they do that, they were, I guess, clowning around and making comments that they should not have made about a potential school threat.
Okay.
That's allegedly how that took place. So the
like into the phone he answered?
They put on speakerphone. I
okay.
And he's talking to some other kids. And
I see.
One of them makes that comment.
Okay,
that's my understanding.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I'm glad it was nothing. That's good.
But we have to take them seriously.
Right, absolutely.
We're not going to ignore something. God, it can't be true. We want to make sure that that's not true before we
You never on. Want to be the agency that after the fact says, well, we didn't think it was a danger.
No, we think everything's a danger.
I know, exactly. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
Okay, it looks like all the roads are fine, not showing any slowdowns right now. It looks like 29 accident-free. 98 accident-free. Okay, everything is accident-free. No problems on I-10, I-110.
You can sing it. You can sing it.
I totally can. Sheriff Simmons, 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 Sheriff Simmons. Hey, look, it's Chip Simmons. Hey, everybody, it's Chip Simmons. But you're not. There you are. 1620 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Kenny. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. We had a shooting, I guess, into a car or in a car, something outside of the Luna Lanes over the weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, we got a call. I guess it was early Saturday morning, about 1 o'clock in the morning, that a 17-year-old male had reported to have gotten shot in the parking lot of DeLuna Lanes on 9 Mile Road. Their story is that they're bowling, and the guys next to him, they're in an argument. They're also bowling in a different lane at 1 o'clock in the morning at the bowling alley. And then when they come outside, there's an argument of some sort in the parking lot, and he gets into his car, and then someone shoots into the car and hits him, in the arm and then in the side. They drive to Target where they call an ambulance to take him to the hospital. So we're investigating that. We're trying to figure out, how much of the story is accurate in the midst of all the chaos.
Okay. All right. And they don't have cameras outside the Luna Lanes?
They do.
Okay.
They do.
Good.
Yeah, we're looking at the cameras that we see. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We also had another incident shooting on Winton Avenue on Sunday morning.
A male suspect went to a residence. He got into an argument with a couple who lived at that home and shot the male victim. That's all we got right now. Again, non-life-threatening injuries, but we're trying to figure out, if charges are warranted, and we are actively investigating that.
All right. We also, you found somebody had a bunch of lawn equipment that he had stolen. Is that right?
Yeah, our deputies have been investigating several burglaries and thefts where people would steal this very expensive steel lawn equipment. I don't
have
any. It's a little higher price for me. But they've been stealing him. So our investigators did some surveillance, and we developed a suspect. That suspect's name is Rashad Ramon Stafford. He's 20 years old. And then we put a picture on our Facebook page of $10,000 worth of at least of lawn equipment, high dollar type, weed eaters and edgers and all this other sort of stuff. And we're still investigating it. We think he's responsible for, he very well could be responsible for more.
Sure.
And we are investigating it, and we located this stuff in two different houses. So he was stealing it, and then he was hiding it in two different houses, and that's why we did the surveillance. And again, our guys did a good job of finding and recovering and hopefully returning this all this equipment.
Do thieves like this typically, are they going to like a pawn shop to sell? Are they selling on Facebook Marketplace? Like, how do they offload? Because something like that is, you know, if you've got a gun or you've got cash, obviously those are fairly easy to, you know, to get rid of or whatever. But I don't think of, you know, lawnmowers and weed eaters and as being like the easiest, most liquid assets to get rid of.
Well, I think it's the market is pretty good for the lawn equipment.
Okay.
So what I think what they're doing is either trading it for drugs, or they're giving it to another person, trading it to another person for $50, and that person will go and pawn it for $100. You know, that kind of stuff. We don't know exactly what he was going to do with all of it, but in past experience, we noticed that they do pawn some of it. They trade the majority of it because I find it hard to believe that they're using it.
Right.
I mean, these are people who are stealing from hardworking people.
Out there stealing the lawn equipment so that they can do their lawn business better. So
I'm not buying it. These people are lazy. They're not working for money. They're stealing hardworking people's equipment.
Absolutely. Saw the story about you putting the nuisance abatement module, the spy camera car that's not a spy camera because it's all out in the open. Hey, we're here. We're looking. We're recording, right?
Yeah, we have a strategy for, you know, we've talked a lot about partnering with federal authorities, trying to get the people that are bringing in large amounts of drugs to Escambia County, poisoning our community.
Mm-hmm.
We have a strategy for the street level drug dealers, but there are people that are just a nuisance to their neighborhood. They were always going there. And when we looked at this particular address, they had over 70 calls in a 3-month period. That is a drain on resources.
Right.
And it's certainly a trouble for the particular neighborhood. Well, we had about two or three vans that we were going to auction off because they're like 250,000 miles. We no longer can use them. We can't trust them. And so I said, why don't we put cameras on these things? And the cameras are real. And let's just put them in the neighborhood, park them legally on the roadway right in front of this nuisance house. And to tell them, this is what it's going to get
so
you right here.
I love this idea.
And it's, again, you can see the cameras. We put in bright red letters. This is a surveillance platform, sheriff's office. And we put the first one out on an address on V Street. The resident wasn't happy with us, and that breaks my heart,
aww,
as you can imagine. And then we've got other people calling us up, hey, bring us to this particular neighborhood.
I was going to say, you should be able to hire it like a birthday party, because I will pay.
Well, I mean,
I don't even have a place in mind yet.
We had 73 calls in 3 months, and as long as our surveillance platform was there, we didn't have any calls.
Isn't that interesting?
Because I guess people want to do drugs or buy drugs or sell drugs. Those individuals don't want to be on camera because the cameras do work.
Does your surveillance camera include license plates from all the people who made U-turns in the vicinity?
Well, we can see all that stuff. We can see it real time. We can see it after the fact. But this is just the first van. We want
Too
to get it out.
Too bad we can't stay.
I'm probably going to put some more signage on that van, again, just in case anyone. Because we do have video of people looking in and trying to figure out what's going on with it.
I want a sign that says, if you can see this van, we have you on video.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Don't be a bad guy.
Yeah.
And you won't worry about that. Now,
I love it.
We're not going to leave it there forever. We're not going to. But we think that if we can prove a point that look, we can't have a deputy sitting right here in your driveway all the time.
Right.
But I can park this car here and see what you're doing. And someone asked me, what about the privacy issues? Well, we have the same freedoms that anyone.
It's
driving,
a public space. There's
the
no right.
And,
there's no entitlement to privacy in a public space.
Our cameras can't see anything more than what you can see as you drive.
That's
by.
That's right.
You know, or walk by, and so we want to make sure that that we do that. We do park in a legal area.
Now,
van. We're gonna have probably one or two more vans like this.
Now, okay, so I thought I heard you say this was like your idea. So this is like a first of its kind. That
No. I know that other agencies do something similar to this. And
I thought maybe this was another like Chip Simmons original, so many of them have been. So
there are some others, but this one is, I borrowed this from the idea itself. Now ours looks different than others. Is our platform is a little bit different than some, in the past we have put our older marked cars in certain locations. Mm-hmm. And so, and, you know, to as a deterrent.
Sure.
And this is like taking it a step
forward. No, I think the typical way you think about it is surveillance fans are supposed to be secretive, and this is the opposite, because the effect is not so much to catch, but to deter. Right. And it's doing it, so that's
I wouldn't talk about the ones that are secret.
Right. I would. Sources and methods. All right, Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time, and we're looking forward to the kickball game coming up October 21st, I think it is. We're out of time to talk about it, but that's
and
right.
Just pay attention. We're going to start announcing who the teams are and some more special news about that event.
Looking forward to that. Thank you, as always, for the time and what you do to make the community safer, man. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
5:54 here on News Radio 92.3. Yeah, all I have in my head is the picture of, like, some guy going to buy his drugs, and he sees the van, and like, woo, U-turning, 3-point turn, or, like, you know, if he's high at the time, 18-point turn, you know, whatever.
like an Austin Powers.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it didn't seem so tight before, baby.
It's like Eddie Murphy. Yeah, too bad we can't stay.
Get out. Yeah. 5:54. So sorry, I can't say. It seems like a nice house. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of U-turns, I don't know. It's the best I got. If you're looking for that next vehicle, you're looking for a good 8-point turn vehicle. No. Frontier Motors, great cars. Like, their selection, about 300, good quality, almost new. And I say that because I don't like the term used particularly, because it sort of implies cars that are, you know, they've been around for a while. Like, you know, you typically think of the used cars like the 1984 Toyota truck that, you know, no, that's not what they sell. Okay, they have cars that are a year, 2, maybe 3 years old, in great condition. Basically, you get to be the second owner. Okay, somebody had it for a year or two and low miles, and then they bring it back and, you know, through a lease or something like that. Or they're the kind of person that likes to upgrade their car every year. And you're the beneficiary of that, because you get a great deal on an almost new car. And again, you know, a wide selection, so you can compare them all to each other very easily, all in one place. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival is coming October 4th through the 8th. Over 19 different venues and over 100 songwriters playing the songs they wrote and the stories behind each song. A full weekend of listening to writers like Thompson Square. Are you gonna kiss me all night? Grammy winner Jim Moose Brown. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Andy Griggs, Jamie O'Neill, and many more. The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival, October 4th through the 8th. Get more at PensacolaBeachSongwritersFestival.com.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
So, this is the type of behavior that I can expect. The minute there's not a teacher in the room, the entire school erupts into a shameless display of adolescent abandon.
Principal Togar.
Used to always be my theme song whenever we talk about Star Wars and missile defense.
Okay, Guns in the Sky.
Yeah, Guns in the Sky, there you go. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
More than 100 people have died, 150 people injured after a fire at a wedding party in Iraq. Now, this happened in Nineveh on Tuesday. The fire started when flares apparently were lit during the celebration. And it started a fire in the ceiling. They've been searching for survivors. I guess 150 were injured, 113 so far confirmed dead.
Yeah.
The Writers Guild of America strike is over after 148 days. The board of the Writers Guild, WGA West, and the council of the WGA East voted unanimously yesterday to lift the strike. And
I don't mean to tell you your business, David, but speaking as somebody who always played the stand-up kung fu video game, I believe that's pronounced Wooga East and Wooga West.
Yeah, no, that sounds legit. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe go with that the rest of the day.
Absolutely, thank you.
Don't go with that for the rest of the day. We'll get in trouble.
Don't you fact check me.
This one makes me feel a little bit old, but Google is celebrating a birthday today. They are 25 years old.
There are people who work at this radio station who are younger than Google.
Yes.
Oh, that's Isn't that crazy? They've only known Google.
They've only lived in a world filled with Google, Facebook. Maybe Instagram came later, but they don't know any different.
But yeah, started back in 1998 originally as part of a project for a Stanford University student.
Wow.
So it's come a long way since then, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for making us all feel super old, David. You're the best. 5:59.
Anytime.
That's what I'm here for, baby. We'll be back.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Two people have been arrested after a hotel break-in. We'll have more on that story after this update from Fox News at News.